Fractured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I identify as a transgender woman.
I identify as a straight transgender female.
There is no such thing as transgender. You're either XX or XY.
But honestly, I don't really identify as human.
I'm tired of being humanized for the comfort of other people.
God made man male and female. That is determined genetically. That is physiology. That is science. That is reality.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
An entire week dedicated to mailbag. Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Nothing. It costs you nothing to bless us. Why wouldn't you want to bless us? I know there's plenty of reasons. The point is, it costs you nothing to send articles, stories, sermons, illustrations that are wretched to idea@wretched.org. I'm telling you, it blesses us more than you know. If you like to communicate, however, with your thumbs, because, well, you're current and contemporary, you can text questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, anything wretched to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous, who texted in, Todd, I try to talk to my parents, but they insist on treating me like a small child and micromanage my life. I try to talk, but my mother insists on yelling about everything, which just in turn makes me angry, and I yell too.
Yeah.
I try so hard to get along with them and honor them, but find myself always losing my temper. What can I do?
Do we know this person's age by any chance?
Do not.
You'll see, it's gonna make a difference in that whole micromanaging business. It depends on your age. The younger you are, the more your parents should micromanage you because you just need more help. Now, you start becoming a teenager. The parent's role is to not micromanage as much. It is to progressively let the child manage him or herself. Mom and dad, be mindful of that. And if you've never considered it, you probably are off the mark because our propensity is to micromanage. That's the easier form of parenting. It really is. Just pick up your this, go do that, comb your hair like this, don't use that word, eat your vegetable. That's easier parenting. And at some point, you need to be mindful that that has to be dialed back progressively because you're not raising children, you're raising adults. And you need to start preparing them for adulthood. Every kid is different, but at least be thinking about dialing back your micromanaging. Second, I would say to parents, if you find yourself yelling a lot because your kid just isn't doing everything that you want them to do, then you've got some work to do. Don't worry, we're going to get to the kids in a second, but you got some work to do because yelling is not an effective parenting style. In fact, it is a really bad Christian witness. You should be doing a little soul searching. Why am I always so on edge? Why am I eating sour grapes all the time and my teeth are just... Figure it out. Because you want your kids to love your... Oh, there, Jimmy, I read an article that was so good about parenting. It was about being vulnerable as a parent. That you want to be teaching your kid. Ah, here it is right here. Hold on. I got it right here. Oh, I don't have my glasses again. This is from The Beehive. I don't know what that is. Show your need. This is so helpful for you, mom and dad. Don't worry. We're going to get to the kids here in just a moment. What was my biggest parenting regret? I wish I would have shown my kids my need for Christ more. I worked so hard to show them my godliness that I didn't show them my need. I should have been more transparent. I should have shown them just how much I needed Jesus. Whoa. Did you ever consider that as you're parenting your children? You want them to be godly. You want them to see your godliness. Yelling isn't godly, by the way. But you want them to see your behavior so that they what? so that they what? It's very possible that we have perhaps adopted a Pharisaical mindset because we behave this way. We want our kids to see our godly behavior because we want them to behave godly. And that is a good goal, but that isn't the Christian goal. The Christian goal is that they see your need for Jesus, your love for the Savior, and your dependence on King Jesus, because that's what we want for our kids, right? How easy is it to lose sight of that, more from the beehive? In the early years of parenting, it's easy to get caught up in a whirlwind of strategies. Yep. You can parent with a gentle parenting strategy. Don't do that, please. For the sake of the rest of us, don't do what was that? What was the article? I think we read a study this week or last week that the kids who are most content and happy, their parents are engaged with their lives, but they are also, they are authoritarian. No, they're authoritative. They're not dictating everything, but they're like, hey, these are the rules of the house. This is the consequence. In other words, they discipline their kids. Those are the most happy children. Of course they are, because that's what the Bible says about parents. You love your kids. You raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And if you love them, you will disciple them. You will spank them. Yep, I said spank. You can get caught up in gentle parenting, a positive approach, the whole brain approach, the attachment method, the Montessori method, or the Waldorf method. I love a good Waldorf method for lunch. Delicious. Or the love and logic philosophy. Those are all methodologies. As a young parent, it's easy to think your decisions around how to respond to your crying infant or how to discipline your disobedient toddler are definitive forks in the road. It's not to say, just don't even worry about any of those things. That's not the point. But what do we want our kids to believe? Do we want our kids to act like Christians, or do we want our kids to be Christians? If the true north of our parenting is drawing our children to God, there is nothing more powerful at every stage than showing them that we desire God every bit as much as we want them to. I'm reading from the article. If a healthy parent-child relationship is characterized by trust, vulnerability is a must. Few things strengthen trust in any relationship more than entrusting the other with intimate stories of our failure and hurt. So if you're a yelling mom or dad, why don't you admit what your kid already knows? I'm so sorry. My heart, it's so deceitful and wicked. Will you please help me get over my anger? You feel free. If I'm blowing up, if I'm just a tea kettle that gets to 212, please let me know. I'm sorry. I don't want to behave that way. And then you know what? When I do, why don't we pray together? And I'll repent for what I'm doing wrong, and you can repent for what you're doing wrong. We need a Savior, don't we? That's powerful parenting. We don't just want our kids to believe facts about Jesus. We want our kids to love Jesus, to rely on Jesus, to long to be with Jesus. And a good way to do that is to show your need. From the article, discretion is undoubtedly needed. A child should not be asked to wield burdens too heavy for them yet. Withholding our failures from our kids stunts our relationship with them and their relationship with God. By God's grace, the author's name is John. John, the 45-year-old man, is more sanctified than the John of the 15-year-old teen, John. And yet, John, the 45-year-old man, is still a man who is in need of sanctification. I daily sin. I daily need Jesus. If the discipline and wisdom I offer my kids comes from a place as a fellow sinner and fool, it is offered and received from a completely different posture than if I offer discipline and wisdom to my kids as one untouched by sin and failure. And what a good reminder, too. If you're more mature at your current age than you were 15 years ago, guess what? 15 years from now, you're going to look back and go, "Pooh." We need help until we die. And not telling our kids that we're aware of what they observe, it's a really big parenting mistake. But enough about parents. Let's talk about what the kid can do to help mom not yell. And this is going to strike your ear if you are young, but I can tell you this as authoritatively as a human being can possibly communicate a truth. If you want your house to be more pleasant, you're a teenager, you want there to be less yelling and less shouting, you want the relationship with your parents to get better, do not focus on them. Focus on your response. Specifically, brace yourself for this, your obedience. Now, the person who sent in this letter said, I've been trying. My encouragement to you is try harder. Why? Well, you've got it in Exodus chapter 20. You've got it reiterated again in Deuteronomy. You've got it reiterated in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and mother. It is the commandment with a promise. Things will go well with you. Do you want your home life to be different? You have more power than you think, teenager, and that power is submission and obedience. Be a hyper-obeyer. Be the best kid possible. Just whatever they say, just do it. If it obviously can't be sin, just do it, do it, do it. Apologize to them. Ask what you can do to help around the house. I can't tell you how many teenagers I've encouraged to do this, and they've said within 24 hours their home was different. Do you want to see happier parents? Become a more obedient son or daughter. Guaranteed it works. This is Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And in Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The book of Micah contains prophecies against the kingdoms of Judah and Israel. Micah warns of God's judgment for idolatry and oppressing the poor. But he offers hope of salvation in the coming Messiah, who is a shepherd, a judge, and a ruler. Those whom God has saved are charged to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with their God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Your source for self-control. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I don't want to brag or anything, but the self-control that I just exhibited was amazing. Oh. Talking about kids and the power that they have in their home by being obedient, because the Bible promises, God promises, if you're an obedient kid, things will go well with you. And I didn't even mention, I'm preaching on that this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church. .org. Didn't do it.
You didn't do it.
I did not. Practicing. Okay, we also ran out of time. But the point is, I exercised excellent self-control. It's an exchange between Jesus and the Pharisees. Matthew 15 is where we're at. We're making our way through the Gospel of Matthew. It's Matthew 15. And Jesus is going to have a long exchange. It's a very long chapter. So afterwards, we see the Canaanite woman that begs him for demon possession, daughter, deliverance. We see Jesus doing a bunch of miracles, feeding of 4,000 men plus women and children. That's a long chapter. And there's a lengthy exchange between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees, which we have not heard from for about three chapters. You have to go back to Matthew chapter 12 to see the exchange between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees. And then before that, you have to go back, I want to say it's Matthew chapter 8, to see the confrontation. No, 5, 6, 8. Yeah, I think it's in 8. You see another confrontation with the Pharisees. This is the pattern of Matthew. Here's a challenge for you. If you're looking for a new way to read the Bible, meaning just to handle it so that it's like, I'm looking for something different, read through Matthew, start identifying the themes. And the way that you'll be able to do that is you'll see them, that certain things repeated over and over again. So for instance, we see John the Baptist make several appearances throughout, sprinkled throughout. It's not just, here's the whole thing on John the Baptist. Boom, there it is. No, we see it initially, the baptism. We see John the Baptist getting imprisoned. We see John the Baptist then being executed. That's a thread. That's a theme. Matthew gives us little John the Baptist. It's great literature. He also gives us little check-ins with the disciples. That's one of the themes. What are the disciples up to? How are they advancing? How are they progressing in their understanding? You've also got the teaching of Jesus. You see that, it's like, okay, there's a bunch of teaching of Jesus. Oh, we went back to the disciples. Oh, now he's doing a bunch of miracles. There's another theme. So Matthew, to write not just inspired writ, but really compelling literature, has these themes going throughout the book, and he'll identify probably 10 of them, just brilliant stuff. And one of them is the scribes and the Pharisees. In Matthew chapter 15, you see Jesus, it's getting hotter. The heat is intensifying. And they accuse Jesus and his disciples of not ceremonially washing their hands before consuming bread. And Jesus responds to them with this is classic rabbinical response. You're accusing me? Here's my accusation of you. You know you're supposed to honor your father and mother. You know that. That if you don't, you should be killed for not honoring your parents. That's what the Bible says. Your little hand-washing tradition, that ain't in the Bible. But the command to honor your father and mother, it is. Now, the thrust of this particular passage is not a teaching on children obeying their parents, but it can't be ignored because Jesus is talking to adults and he's telling them, hey, take care of your parents. And he reiterates the command with a promise. This is a formula that is ironclad. It works. It works. You honor your parents at every stage and every age of your life, and it will go better for you. And there's a number of reasons. You'll just have to join us at Alpharetta Bible Church if you'd like to hear them. But the bottom line reason that it works is because God says it does. If you are a child and you want a sweet life, honor your parents. Do what you're told. Do it the first time. Do it the right way. And by the way, when you're doing this, you're going to be growing in ways you just can't imagine. You're going to be growing in ways that your peers probably are not. You're going to become more industrious. You're going to become more obedient. You're going to be more thoughtful. You're probably going to take care of things better if you're the one charged to fix what gets broken or to clean or to mow. You're going to want to take care of, you're going to be developing more responsibility. You're going to be developing more patience because your parents aren't always going to communicate with you perfectly and sinlessly. So you're going to be growing in fruit of the Spirit. Not to mention, it is still a general principle. Overall, life goes better. Why? Because you're doing life the way that God designed it to be done. That your parents are the ones that are in authority over you as a blessing from God. Do not reject that blessing. Honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you. And we'll see at Alpharetta Bible Church Sunday, because I am practicing self-control and not talking about it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from John. Todd, I recently heard a short clip of you warning against pastors cheating by using AI to write sermons. And I agree with you, but I would also like to hear your thoughts on using AI as a glorified thesaurus or wordsmith. For example, the ESV, LSB, NASB, and KJV make use of the word propitiation, while the CSB and NIV use two words, atoning sacrifice. Do you see a problem with asking AI to provide two or three phrases to help articulate the depth of meaning?
Perhaps. If you're going to do a word study, there are better sources than AI. I'm not kidding. Go grab your concordance. Get a Greek lexicon. Use those, because the words, they've all been studied. And those are definitively reliable sources that you can trust for looking for the definition and the meaning of a particular word. Having said that, I do believe that AI, it can be a tool. You can ask it pretty much anything you want to, and it's going to spew it out. The problem is you just don't know what its sources are. It gleans from the internet. All right, who programmed it? What sources are they going to? Well, how do they have access to these things? So you've got a source issue, and that should not be overlooked. I'm sure that it's going to be these days. You just don't have to cite a source. They're important, because otherwise you don't know the credibility and the reliability of the information that AI is spewing out. But I think you can use it. But be careful as you're writing a sermon, or you're just doing a Bible study or a verse study. Be careful how you use it, especially for you, Pastor. Can you? Okay, so Jimmy, once again, I'm not talking about this Sunday sermon, but I did want to find the quotes. Oh, I know, from Sola Scriptura. I wanted some quotes from the Reformers on Sola Scriptura. And so I simply asked AI, please provide 20 quotes from the Reformers on Sola Scriptura. Provide the source, please. There it is. I don't feel like I was cheating. I mean, it's funny. We've already accepted. Well, you can Google it, and then you can go to this source. You can check it out. You can read for 12 hours and not find what you're looking for. Then you can go to that. We're kind of okay with that. Well, AI just speeds the process. And I didn't think that I was cheating in my study of the text by looking for supportive quotes from the Reformers regarding Sola Scriptura, because I'm not going to talk about this Sunday sermon, but That's what Jesus was dealing with those scribes and Pharisees and the hand washing business. Tradition versus Bible. That's what Jesus was doing. Hey, you're a tradition of man, and yet you neglect, you override, you make null the word of God with your traditions. That's why I went searching for Sola Scriptura, because that's what the Roman Catholic Church does. The Roman Catholic Church, very similar to Jewish people, very similar when it comes to traditions, the rabbinical teachings. And so I used AI for that, and I don't feel guilty about that. It provided the sources. I could go read the Babylonian captivity looking for quotes from Luther. I could go read the entire book, The Institutes of John Calvin, to find a quote. Just not available, just don't have that kind of time. Now, other aspects of preparing the sermon, You don't want anybody else doing that work. You don't want anybody else doing that. You got to be doing that hard work. You've got to be diving into the text. You've got to be outlining the text. You've got to understand the thrust of the text. You've got to understand what it is trying to communicate in its context. What is the overarching narrative of the Bible? All of the expository laws, because they are laws to preaching in an expositional manner, don't give those away. You won't grow. Your people won't grow. And the sermon, it's going to fly out of your head and your heart very quickly. Having said all that, use it judiciously, use it wisely, and make sure you have it quote the sources, because otherwise, well, you'll probably be no better. Wow, was I going to take a cheap shot at a Southern Baptist former president? Wow, was I? But I'm not going to do that, because once again, this is the source of self-control. This is Wretched Radio.